Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Carol, did you hear me call the wine line today?
Did
you
catch that? I did not.
So, well, I'll just play it for you here. Charlie aired this morning. I happened to call. Well, maybe it wasn't me. I probably shouldn't have given it up.
We have time for the fish fiasco?
Yeah, this is the fish fiasco, yeah. So, yeah, I left a message. Here we go.
We have time for one more. Folks, this one might take the cake.
Yeah, hey, Charlie, this is Mark in High Ridge, first-time caller, long-time listener, big fan. Was wondering if you had any advice for people who have coworkers who cook fish in the microwave oven in the kitchen of your place of employment. Because somebody at my work did that the other day, and I mean, it smelled like the Seattle fish market in the office. It smelled like the bottom of my bass boat or my live well. And I'm just struggling with a way to figure out how to prevent this in the future. I thank you in advance for your advice.
Just in case you didn't get enough of Mark Reardon, 2 to 5 in the afternoons here on KMOX. I think the first time he's called the wine line.
It sounded like he was channeling Kenny Wallace.
He did sound like Kenny Wallace. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know why it was that in the middle, I did that call. Dave Klein reminded me. So I'm heading home from work yesterday, and I said, I'm going to call the wine line and mess with Charlie. This happened a couple of days ago. Carol and I talked about it. So he cooked some cod in here.
He admitted.
Yeah, well, and so Dave and I and Chris Myhill, his producer, were all together in our programming area. And we were kind of ripping on it. We thought it was somebody else. We thought
before
it was
he admitted, you right, guys were talking about
Charlie
the smell.
Is in the he kind of has that office in the corner,
right?
And I knew he was in there, but we thought it was Jackie Dodge who works in our our marketing department, and it wasn't. And Charlie's like, he was like hanging his head. He's like, yeah, it was me. And he starts opening the window. Remember, I talked about this a couple of days ago. So I had to call the wine line, but
had to.
What was weird is that all of a sudden, if you notice, I start doing more of an accent, like in the middle of the call. And
what was that
I
about?
I don't know, but they thought maybe Kenny Wallace.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Maybe I was channeling Kenny just a little bit there.
A little bit?
I don't know, because I was trying to act like he wouldn't know. Of course, I knew that he would figure out it was me.
Do you ever talk like that? People have different voices.
Well, Carol, and I was on my float trip over the weekend down in West Plains, Missouri. I might have. No, I don't necessarily, unless I want to really get my redneck on or something like that.
Get your redneck on.
I can do it. I can do the accent if you want me to. There's no doubt. But no, I don't. Typically, I do not. But, to your point, if you have a Southern accent, I wish I knew who this was. There's a friend of mine who grew up in the Boot Heel. Maybe this will come to me or not. But when they go visit,
you change.
Yeah. So Becky's from Wisconsin. You kind of ease back into the to the language patterns. She's from Wisconsin. They have boat, lake, So she'll come back from visiting friends.
You guys
can
see the way his body contorted just now, just saying it.
She'll say a word sometimes, and if it's the word boat and she draws out the O, I'm like, the boat by the lake. There used to be a player for the Brewers, Chad Moeller. And the funniest thing that happened, I had this producer when I was at WTMJ. His name was Jim Kaluzny. He was from Cudahy, Wisconsin. Cudahy is a suburb that is south of Milwaukee, right along the lake. And for whatever reason, I probably should know this, the accents are thicker in South Milwaukee. Not sure why. Big Polish influence. I don't know
why. It's cultural.
So Kaluzny had the thickest Wisconsin accent that you could ever imagine. And one day on the air, I even did an impersonation of it. It was, how you have Donut Day or something like a National Donut Day. There was something that involved donuts, or maybe he just brought us donuts. Well, of course, it's not donuts. It's donuts.
Oh.
And he was like that guy. And I'm telling you, this may have very well changed the whole dynamic of our relationship because, well, first of all, I get a bad string of stories with producers. Those guys are in there laughing at me right now. But I sort of mocked his accent.
Oh, sure you did.
But what would the reaction be? I mean, I wasn't trying to make fun of him. It wasn't a personal attack.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I really was. I was kind of
making fun of the way he sounds?
Yes, but everybody sounds like that up there. But here's what happened. He got so angry, but he didn't get angry necessarily because of what I said. He insisted that he had no accent. He was so insistent and angry. It's like, I don't have, like, by the, he was actually shouting things out with more of a thick Wisconsin accent than he had in the first place. I don't have an accent. I don't have an accent.
New Yorkers say they don't have accents. That's true. That is true. My husband does that too when he talks to his family. He goes right back into the...
Because he's from the Caribbean, right?
Yeah, right back in from St. Croix, from the Virgin Islands, goes right back into the accent. But I'm like, talk to me like that. I want to hear that. But he meant certain words, only certain words.
You grew up in several locations. So
well, actually,
did you ever have
no. I grew up in Germany. But then because I was born in the 60s in the Vietnam War, my father was deployed several times. We didn't move. So I grew up in mid-Missouri all of my life, only 2 years in Germany as a child. So I'm one of the few Army brats.
You sound like Angela Merkel.
And indeed, we had an opportunity.
No, you don't at all.
I pick up other people's accents.
I'm fascinated by accents. I don't have one. Because you really
don't. Have one.
But I'm fascinated by it because it's what you're exposed to.
Right.
And sometimes they're so subtle, right? I've joked, I think, that I've been worried that not really worried, but I wonder if my daughter will have an English accent because of Peppa Pig. And for whatever reason, a lot of the animated shows are English characters.
We borrow them from Great Britain.
But we really don't know. I guess people don't know that they have an accent. Do they just not
I think a lot of people who have an accent don't realize they have one, especially if you're growing up in an environment where everybody speaks the same. Mm-hmm. It's not an accent. People think we have an accent as Americans. And we think we don't have an accent. You have an accent. You're from London. You have an accent. Right. And they say no. We don't.
But here's the problem with that theory. Okay. So let's take an English accent. My friend Simon Rose, who I used to work with in Colombia, he's from Manchester, England, and I would make fun of him over the years because I like to do that. Make fun of people. It's part of what I do, Carol.
DNA.
But he would say, you know, like say the word that Fidel Castro is from what country? He ruled. Over what country?
So how am I getting...
Just tell me what's the country.
Cuba, but how
Cuba.
Am I...
No, that is incorrect, Carol. It's Cuba. It's Cuba.
That's how they say
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah, okay. So let's say you are a LT in... Let's say I'm LT Reardon in military terms.
Right.
What is that?
Lieutenant.
That is not, Carol. It is lieutenant. Where do you come up with that stuff? I mean, is that an accent or just drinking too many pints or something like that? I think that's a legitimate question.
I think it is a legitimate question.
Lieutenant.
I can't answer that whatsoever. I wish I had an accent.
I wish I had a British accent.
And I would love to be able to do accents.
There's nobody in the country, like in the world. Are there women that... Because you will admit the British accent is intriguing, right? There's some accents that are maybe sexier than others.
Right. I don't know that a Russian would turn me on. I don't know that accent. I mean, I really do love my husband's accent. That Caribbean accent
is a good accent.
Is a very good accent.
I like the French accent.
The French accent is
German,
another one.
No, and I'm part German. No offense. I do not like it at all. For a variety of reasons.
It's a very hard one to master,
yes.
to speak the language. And then also, a Southern gentleman coming at you. A Southern gentleman different than, you know, the woods, New Orleans accent.
Yeah. Like the Atlanta area, Georgia, very polite and proper,
right.
not just redneck accent is what you're talking about.
I don't even know. Do you use that term redneck deep in Mississippi? I mean, what's that called?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it has a different insulting
name. It probably
name.
Does. The point I was going to make is, do you think that there's no, and I've asked English women this. So are there women in England, and I think the answer is no, who hear an American accent and say, oh man, I don't like that accent. Well, I don't do that. Do they?
I have no idea.
I don't think they do.
Do you think the answer is no?
I think the answer is definitely.
I think the reverse is more true.
Yes.
That women in America find a British accent sexier than British women find an American accent.
I think that's accurate. That's accurate.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point right now where I have no idea how I even started this conversation, so I think it's time to wrap it up. And Carol's back at 3:30 with the news.
News breaks out. KMOX breaks in. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. Depend on it.
On Fox 2 last night.
I've come over here. I'm going to join you. That's because we have a big announcement.
We
tonight.
Do.
Yes, to make on Fox 2. Our good friend, Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray, is retiring. Dave has decided to step away from the weather desk after 42 years in the television industry. Dave, this is your decision.
Oh, absolutely. It's been going on for a couple of years.
And we are going to miss you.
That is Mandy Murphy with Dave Murray, who joins me on the phone this afternoon. Dave Murray, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, we've never met in person, and I regret that. I've been a fan for a long time, and, you know, it's funny. When things like this happen, I'd love your perspective. Doesn't it seem like you're dying at this point because everyone's saying, like nice things about you?
Well, but it's nice. It's, you know, and that's one of the great things about St. Louis and why I enjoy it so much is even when the weather's crummy and you're even blown a forecast, people are still pretty nice about it. So it makes me feel good. These are folks who have invited me into their living rooms, their family rooms, their kitchens, their bedrooms for a long, long time, and I absolutely appreciate it.
Well, what led to the decision? You know, on the soundbite I played there, you said a couple of years. So this has been in the works. It wasn't something you decided last week.
No.
Right.
No, this was a thing. I'll be 65 in November. It is something that my wife and I have actually talked about for about 10 years, but the station and I came to a new contract a little over 4 years ago and laid out that I had a three-year deal. We worked when we got to the kind of the middle of the third year. We sat down and we talked about the fourth year and the fifth year, which were tied to the contract. And I passed on the fifth year and said that I would work the fourth year, which is where I am right now. And but part of the process is I wanted the summer off for the 9 and the 10 o'clock news, which they did give me. They were nice enough to give me that. But we established really at that point, which is about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, that September 15th would be the day. And we were all on board. Nobody wanted it, but we were on board. There was no, you know, there was a lot of talking about trying to get me to stay, but I had really made up the decision and that it was time where my wife and I are healthy. Our son got married this year at 35 years old and probably a grandkid on the way at some point. It was just time. And I have the experience of watching my dad retire at 58 years old and my brother retiring at 62 years and just watched how they did it. They are my two great mentors. So we have a pretty good idea of what we're going to do and what we're not going to do and how we're going to do it.
Well, I give you credit because I think too many people in this business, maybe this is true elsewhere too, and I understand if you have a passion for what you do, and I do have a passion for what I do, but I think a lot of people kind of hang on a little bit too long, not from the perspective that they're not good anymore at what they do, but good Lord, you've worked all these years to enjoy a little bit of time in retirement, right?
Right, and I did not want to get to the point of being, and not that I honestly believe I could probably do it well into my 70s. I just didn't want to do that. And some, you know, I love what I do. People know that. People know I love the weather. I love St. Louis. But it's a grind. And when I talk about a grind, I tell one story now because I started having the summers off from the 9 and the 10 o'clock news on June 1st. It was a Friday night. And my wife and I went out on a date Friday night to celebrate that I was coming off the 9 and the 10 o'clock show.
Right.
But this is the thing. Other than vacations, that was the first time during the week we had a date going out to dinner in over 30 years.
That's amazing. Now, they talked about
thing, and when I thought about it, we talked about it at dinner. It was almost one of these cringeworthy, you know, moments. It's like, but that's what the business does to you. And it was time to step away. And it's a very enjoyable time for me right now.
So they talked about this on KMOX Overtime this morning, and Debbie Monterey said when she tossed out that little tidbit about, you know, you saying you hadn't spent any time with your wife during the weekday, she said, well, maybe that's why the marriage lasted so long. You ever think about that?
I do use that as a joke from time to time. We will have been married 36 years this year, and I always say that it's people will always ask, you know, how does it last? How do you make that last so long? I said, well, technically, we've been married 36 years, but we've only been together about 9.
Yeah, well, you know, that's first of all, it's a great relationship, and congratulations on the marriage of your son, and I guess congratulations on the retirement, although you're going to be missed. You know, the people that do what you do, and I don't know that I put myself in this category, but look, people depend on you, and it's that comfort factor of seeing someone that you've known, in your case, for decades, doing the forecast every night.
And I understand that completely, and, you know, all things must pass, though on the positive side, I do several radio stations in town, you know, one of them on your group.
We can say nice things about KFTK now and Dave Glover because, yeah, he's right down the hall from me.
Right. And I'm going to continue to do that. And actually, we've talked a little bit on 97.1 that we may be expanding that a little bit into the morning.
Oh, good.
And always open to other radio stations. But it's and why I'm open to that is that that's a whole different schedule. It's a whole different thing. And you're home when you do that. And I have access to all the information, so it's not like I don't have any data or anything. But it's a whole different thing than being at a one place from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 11 o'clock at night.
So help me out just briefly here with the timeline, because I slipped in the last hour promoting your appearance, and I said Channel 5, because I still kind of remember you from the Channel 5 days. But then you took off for a while, and you were doing the national TV thing in the 80s,
right,
weren't you?
Yeah, I've been in the business for 42 years, most of it in St. Louis. But I came out of graduate school, and Channel 5 hired me in 1976, and worked for Channel 5 for about 7 years or so. And then I got tapped by Good Morning America to come to New York and do Good Morning America World News This Morning, also did ABC Radio and some stuff on World News Tonight, depending on what was going on with the weather. Did that for 3 years. I was during the David Hartman, Joan London, Steve Bell years, which were great fans.
And you were a young guy then, weren't you?
Yeah, I really was. And sometimes as I look back at it, maybe I was too young. Not that I feel like I was very successful at it, but I maybe didn't enjoy it as much as I probably should have. But it taught me a lot of stuff. I met almost everybody you could think of in the world of any form of entertainment, politics, sports, you name it. It was quite a three-year stretch, other than getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's, in television, there's no good schedule at all. Kind of like radio, there's not necessarily any good schedule.
Except for afternoon drive, Dave. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is pretty good.
And then from there, I went to WBZ in Boston, which was a station I kind of grew up on.
Yeah, you knew Charlie Brennan back then, didn't you?
I did. Yep, we met. I actually did a radio show with him. But one of my great mentors of getting me into the field and kind of pushing me along was a meteorologist named Don Kent out of WBZ. And Don really encouraged me to get into this business. He helped me quite a bit along the way, along with Bob Ryan and John Giorsi, a couple of guys in the Northeast. Bob Ryan, of course, doing the Today Show for a long time. And then in 1989 came back to St. Louis when I got the magical phone call from the general manager at the time, and that was Wayne Thomas. And I'd never met him but knew his name, and Wayne called me up at home in Boston and asked the simple question, what would it take to get you to come back to St. Louis? And that started the ball rolling. We met in New York. We met with Bud Carey, who was the president of Times Mirror at the time, who owned Channel 2 at that point. We knocked out a deal in the matter of about 20 minutes. And then I flew back to Boston, did the weather. Nobody knew anything was going on. All the papers were signed.
That's awesome.
And that was in the days of fax machines. That's how papers got signed.
Yeah, well, yeah, remember that. Well, I think, you know, not that I'm going to tell you how to do anything, but it would be kind of fun maybe in that last week of doing this. September 15th is the last day. Maybe pull out.
14th is the last day on the air. 15th is the last day of the deal.
Ah, I got you. Maybe pull out the old maps because the technology's changed a little bit in 42 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, we had a couple of shots on it last night. I've got some old video from the early 80s and late 70s. When it was, and to the kids out there who are listening, who just see weather as graphics all the time, these were the days where they were magnetic maps, you could draw on the maps, on certain maps anyway, and everything had to be posted. You actually had to lay out the forecast on a piece of wood, a magnetic piece of wood. And there were no graphics at all. I started to introduce graphics in the late 70s, early 80s here in St. Louis, and at that point it was just a point-to-point, kind of dot-to-dot graphic that you could do, and we started to mix it into the hard maps. And then eventually it blossomed into what you see today.
How much of this decision has to do with working in the same building with that jerk Kevin Steincross?
Well, the one nice thing is that I'd never see him, so I don't have to
yeah.
See him
you know what's funny? You might know this. Do you know that he did weather at one point in his career?
I never knew that. I knew that he graduated from Columbia in New York, and that's where my wife graduated from, too. So we know that connection.
Well, so I met Kevin back in the 80s, maybe early 90s. I have to look at this. When he was at KMIZ Channel 17 in Columbia, and I was there living, working in radio. I did movie reviews every Friday night. And when I came back to St. Louis, I'm like, I was at movie screenings, and I would see Kevin. I'm like, who is this guy? I recognize him. Well, and this is still, maybe it doesn't happen in small markets, Dave, but you probably recognize that it used to happen, maybe. It still does. So Kevin did like reporting 3 days a week, and then he did weather on the weekend. I mean, he wasn't a meteorologist, but that was the economies of scale.
That absolutely happened a lot in the early days because there was no such thing as a weather team. It was usually one person, and then okay, who can we get to do the weekends? And a lot of times, this was when news was just doing maybe a 6 o'clock news and a 10 o'clock news, and that's all that was being done. Those days seem so far away now.
Well, listen, congratulations. I'd love to have an opportunity here as we get closer to the date to maybe share some cool weather stories because I know you got a ton of those. I wish you'd quit doing Glover's show, though. I mean, you're propping his ratings up and everything. Just quit that. Great to have you on, Dave. It's an honor. And
that we can't do, when Emmis was around before this sale took place, I did every station on Emmis.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
We might work some out in the future, but we have competing interests right now.
I know that.
But thank you, Dave, so much. I'd love to meet you in person sometime, and maybe we'll get to share a little bit of time. The other thing I was going to say, for the love of God, don't do a podcast. All right, I have enough competition.
I'm not doing a podcast.
Good. Dave Murray, thanks again.
All right, thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. 3:30 at KMOX. Carol's got the news in a moment.
Get ready for the Cards and White Sox tonight. Amerenacton Energy, 6:15. First pitch, 7:10. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
This is a Tom Petty song that has never been released, and there was an announcement today that the late Tom Petty is going to have in the Heartbreakers a real cool compilation effort, and I had all... This is what I do here, and I know my producers are going to laugh at me because I can never find the stupid stuff. Here it is. Don't give me that evil look in there. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers announced a posthumous box set, An American Treasure. This is a song called Keep a Little Soul. It's never been released. The family of Tom Petty and former collaborators compiled the 4-CD box set, and it's going to be announced on, or released rather, September 28th. So that's pretty cool. Very fortunate to see Tom Petty numerous times over the course of his career, including that one last stop here before his death last year here in St. Louis at Scott Trade Center. So Chris Reimer is my guest this afternoon. Some of you might remember Chris from a variety of, past tangles and battles we've had on a variety of issues, mostly relating to social media. He's the Associate Director of New Media at Maryville University. He's the author of the best-selling book Happy Work, soon to be a major motion picture directed by Steven Spielberg. And now, I got to stop here and do a little special. And now, I wish I had Echo. We need Echo, Dave. Can the engineers do that? The founder and chief power officer of something called Busa Tech. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chris Reimer. How are you, Chris?
That was amazing.
Well, I try. For you, I would do
Thank
anything,
Thank you for not
really.
Leaving any of my job titles out.
Well, every time you're in here, you get a new job title. But, in all seriousness, I saw some of the stuff about Busa on Facebook, and it intrigued me and impressed me from an entrepreneurial standpoint. I'm being sincere here because you're that type of person. And I thought the product looked pretty cool. And since we're friends, and since you wouldn't give me a free one because I asked, I thought we'd find out a little bit more. First and foremost, though, how are you?
You definitely pressed for the free one. Now, Tom Ackerman actually reached deep into his wallet.
He said he bought one, right?
He did buy one.
Yeah.
So You know, Tom holds a special place in my heart.
Well, he makes far, far more money than I do.
That
could
be an
issue. He's a morning show talent.
That could be an issue, Mark. I
understand. You know, measly afternoon guy here, second-rate host on KMOX.
I want to update you and your listeners. I have not been fired from any jobs in, like, at least the last couple of years.
See, that's important, just to give you some background on that, because usually, and I've known Chris for, well, at least 5 or 6 years, and for the first couple of years you were coming in here, it was literally a new job title every month.
It's not fair. I've had steady employment now for 3.5 years. But I'm doing this little side hustle, side gig thing with the blessing of my friends at Maryville University. And I'm just having a lot of fun with it. It's fun to, you know, take a swing at entrepreneurism again.
Well, describe what it is. So this is a cell phone charger, and it gets very frustrating. This would be important for some folks here at KMOX because they use my cell phone charger in our programming office. And it's borrowed. Let's just put it that way. And I'm always going through those stupid Apple cords. You know, they fray. And if you use an Apple cord that's not an Apple cord, it doesn't seem to work very well. So I've insisted upon charging rent, Chris, for my fellow employees here for my cell phone charger.
They should not touch your stuff.
They shouldn't.
No,
thank you.
Don't touch my stuff.
I don't. My wife would tell you, I don't like to share, all right? I'm not a sharing, giving type of person.
Sharing is caring, though.
Well, that's why I don't do it. But anyway, this is a... Just bear with me here.
I'm with you, man.
We're having fun.
I'm with you.
You know me. Big harm, a big teddy bear rhymer. You know that. No, but tell folks what it does. And it, by the way, it's a real cool, it actually looks like a cell phone.
It does a little bit. People have actually said, hey, is that a cell phone? I'm like, well, no, there's no, no, it's not a cell phone. It's a portable phone charger, sometimes referred to as a power bank. Some people call them external battery banks. So basically, it's about the size of an iPhone, a little bit thicker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to give a standard iPhone 3.5 charges. So what that equates to for someone even who uses their phone like kind of a power user on a regular basis, you'll be able to stay off the grid for like 2 days straight. And so
yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And so you think, okay, well, when am I away from power? Definitely if you're traveling, if you're flying somewhere, if you're, you know, you've got kids sports, you're going to be out on the field like all
you know,
day.
Airports, some airports are pretty good about charging stations, but I don't think ours is, and I don't think there are enough. So this is perfect for traveling in airports.
And you'll see people too, though, you know, they're kind of like hugging the wall in an airport or looking for an outlet. And like, you don't want to sit on an airport floor. You don't need to do that. If you carry one of these, you're going to be basically right. You're going to have power wherever you need it.
So what differentiates this? There are other things out there, the Mophies and stuff like that. How is this different?
Yeah, it's a good question. So first of all, for listeners, if you want to check this out while we're talking, you can go to boosatech.com. It's BOOSATECH.com. Shameless plug. So there's
I was going to do that eventually, but yes.
We can shamelessly plug it again. So there's five different things. I call it the Power Five that really set it apart. First, it's beautiful. It's fancy. It's, like you said, feels good in the hand.
Yeah, it has a very soft, it's almost like a soft leather feel. It's very supple. I think I would use the word supple.
Oh, man, that is the first I've heard that, but I'm going to take it.
Okay.
Second is lightweight.
What I'm hoping for here, just so you know, is maybe by the end of the week, something on the website, boosatech.com, that says, Mark Reardon says it feels supple. Like,
you know,
just,
I am going to have
can
one
we do
of those
that?
Pages like as seen on.
Right,
you know,
right.
And like KMOX Mark Reardon will be the first graphic.
Okay, good, good.
So I can promise you that. Second, it's lightweight. It's under 200 grams. I know you love the metric system, so under 200 grams.
It's my favorite.
So it's very light.
I learned it in sixth grade.
Third, it has a port on top. It has three ports on top to charge your phone. But the one in the middle is what's called USB-C. So that's the next generation of USB that Android phones use. So fourth, it has what's called pass-through charging. So not all power banks can do this. So what that means is you take this thing and you plug it into the wall to charge it. But while it's charging, you can plug a phone into it and it'll pass energy through to your phone. So you can charge two things at once. And then the last,
very efficient, very efficient.
Good. And you don't have to carry as many cords.
That's
like
right.
If you're traveling, you don't want to bring like multiple, you know, wall outlet chargers or whatever. The last thing is it's always on. So if any of your listeners have ever had one of these things and you plug into it, but then you have to hit a button to make it start charging.
And if you forget to do that, you're not charged.
If you forget to do that, yeah. And you think, okay, well, just hit the button every time. Well, people aren't like that. They're like laying in bed and they plug in and they roll over and go to sleep. And when they wake up, their phone's dead. So with this, when you plug it in, Boosa turns itself on. It doesn't mean it's using power when you don't have something plugged in. It doesn't. But when you plug in, you don't have to hit a button. It just turns itself on and starts charging your phone. So it's, I have not found a power bank that has all five of those things put together. And I purchased a lot of power banks off
Did
Amazon.
You? For comparison,
a
yeah.
lot. My house is like There's batteries.
Power Bank Central.
It is.
Hey, where did the name come from, by the way?
That's a really amazing question. So you'd think that it was like a play on words, like the word boost or whatever, but really it's an accidental nickname that we gave our two cats. Like,
I love that.
Yeah.
So I know you're a cat guy. I'm a cat guy.
Well,
so
I sell exclusively on the internet. And so, you know, the internet is owned by cats and Justin Bieber. So,
it's a good name though. I'm going to give you props on the name. It seems unique and it's kind of catchy. Well, look, a couple of questions here that are important. You've given me credit for some good questions. That's what I do here, Chris, okay? How much will you be affected by the trade wars that are currently underway?
That is something I have not even figured out yet because I already own what I need to own probably for at least the next month or two. But
I don't really care. I just thought it was a good question. I'm not really seriously interested in the answer.
Yeah, my geopolitical knowledge on the tariff situation, you know, Mark, I'm going to find out the next time I place an order in my new
Will people
my
at
new
Busch
Chinese
Stadium
friends tell me, okay. There's a special new friend charge that we have to put
right,
on your
right.
order.
Will people at Busch Stadium be able to use these during the course of doing the annoying wave?
Well, certainly. Just hold on to it. You don't want to drop Busa because, you know, Busa doesn't like to be dropped from high places. And so, like, if you're doing the wave,
which you shouldn't do.
I think that depending on where the score is at, again, if it's like a blowout, you know, if the Cardinals are totally winning, you know, get up. It's calisthenics. It's good to get the blood flowing.
This is a long-standing feud that Chris and I have had over the years. In fact, whenever I'm at the stadium, I usually send you a video or post something about the wave. We've gone back and forth about that. Hey, the other thing about the Busa that I wanted to ask you about is you have two different colors. Are there more colors than that?
These are the two colors.
White and gray?
So we got dark gray, which is, it's almost black, but it's basically dark gray, and white. Those are the only two colors.
Can I suggest purple? The reason being, my daughter, 3-year-old Alexa Reardon, that's her favorite color. Of course, last week it was blue. This week it's purple.
So I could call it like the Alexa edition, maybe?
Well, don't do that, because then people will say the word Alexa, and their whole house will go nuts from other thing.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun prank, in my opinion.
Can we tell people, I want to shift into something else since I have you in here. Do you think it's okay to tell people what happened in the World Cup game? And I ask that from the perspective that people sometimes record it. Is that okay, Dave, you think? Okay.
I don't think that's okay.
Here's your warning. You think it's... If I give
a
warning,
though. I
don't
think
that's okay.
Why? Well, because you're, like, totally spoiling it for people. There's people who are really... I guess you could say, like, hey, turn your radio down for,
okay,
like, 5 seconds.
Well, that's what I was going to do. But let me bypass the score. There is a final, and we know who's going to appear in the final, the World Cup final. You're a big soccer guy, right?
I enjoy the game greatly, yeah. And this has been a fun World Cup.
So on Friday, you tell me, I want you to make my prediction. Actually, it has been a pretty good World Cup, and I have watched a little bit. It's not my thing. My wife, as you know, Becky, she played collegiate soccer, so she's been into it. But one of the issues that I have with soccer is this. There are certain things that there's no way I could ever do. Like, I could never hit a 90-mile-per-hour baseball, right? I couldn't hit a field goal from like 45 yards. I couldn't do a lot of these things in professional sports. He's grimacing now. He knows where I'm going probably. If you put me 12 yards away from a ginormous net with one person in front of that net, if I have 10 shots, because we're going to do this on Friday, if I have 10 penalty kicks, right, how many do you think I'd get in?
You know, it really depends on the pressure of the situation.
Dave Klein says zero.
Oh, I know.
Think
you.
I'll get a few in.
The number that popped into my head was four.
I'm thinking four or five.
Yeah,
right?
Four, which isn't very good. I mean, it would need to be more to be
professional. Yeah, but I don't know about that. My point is,
I can play soccer no matter what. And I was actually going to say, like, the cardio wise, like, we have
no idea. Oh, it's intense.
Idea.
Here's what I'll tell you about that. And I have great appreciation for the cardio because when I was in Milwaukee, where Chris Reimer went to school, Marquette University, that is not fake news, right?
No, that's I went true. To Marquette up in Milwaukee. Awesome place.
They had an indoor team. Michael King, one of the guys who was involved in the team, good friend of mine. He was an outdoorsman, hunter. I did a bunch of charity work with Michael. Reminds me, I haven't spoken to him in years. But he invited me to do a charity indoor soccer game. Good Lord. And I was in relatively good shape at the time. You know, I tend to be a weekend athlete, cyclist. I think I was even doing some running at the time. It was intense. It really was. And that was like for 3 minutes.
So when my kids were at the St. Louis Language Immersion School, they went to the French school for years. There, during the summer, there was a parents versus the school interns soccer match. And so the interns were from Spain and France, so pretty good soccer playing countries. And, you know, a bunch of us old guys are trying to play, like, these Spanish players looked amazing. By the end of that game, like, I mean, my back was a mess for 2 weeks. It was terrible.
No, it's tough. And I'm not taking the athleticism away from anyone. Chris Reimer, BoosaTech.com, BoosaTech.com. Did I get that right?
You've done it.
Check it out. It's a cool product. And I appreciate you getting into the entrepreneurial spirit. His original entrepreneurial project was Rizzo Tees, right? Was that the first one? Or did you do stuff before
no,
that?
I used to live on Normandy Golf Course up in Normandy. And I sold.
And you collect golf balls and
I
sell
sold golf balls.
That's
out for
smart.
16T, yeah. That
Man, I love. It. I'm going to be first. Working for you someday.
You think?
I do. I do think so.
I might have to get back in the golf.
Sweeping the floors or something
golfer,
like that.
Are you?
Yeah, sadly, I am. I'm not a very good golfer these days. One more try. Can I have a free one?
Let me sleep on it.
All right, 3:48. Thanks, Chris.
Playback ready.
Now the audio cut of the day.
I think we've had like five of these today, but I'm going to issue one again right now, 3:54 on CamWex, adult content warning, because I'm going to do a story here that is adult-oriented. There's some of this in it. So yesterday I had this story about this woman in Davenport, Iowa, that went before the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Hello, my name is Lisa Ann Whitmer-Wagman. I just moved here because I'm getting a divorce.
Now, it had nothing to do with the topic at hand, which was a Portillo's restaurant.
Ma'am, we're discussing the rezoning for the Portillo's. Do you have any comments on that?
For what?
We're discussing the rezoning on 53rd for...
Well, I live on 63rd.
Again, we're here to hear comments about the rezoning.
Well, I don't like Facebook.
Yeah.
And I don't... like the internet.
Yeah, of course. So she established that. So then we found this. I have to credit my my friend Carlin Yeager in Howard County, Missouri. Well, he lives in Boone, I think, but he's one of my hunting buddies. And this was a guy, this was from a couple of weeks ago. He went into a city council discussion about local bodywork licenses in Lawrence, Kansas. And he felt very passionate about the right for massage therapists to give, well, something that was very happy.
So I propose this. The city allows for licensed masseurs to give genital massages if the masseur and the client both agree to it. We let someone get naked and have every other part of their body touched and rubbed by a massage therapist. Picture this, a big old sweaty fat guy giving him a full body massage, getting up in there under the folds of fat. And that brings me to my last point.
And his last point is important, ladies and gentlemen, and I wish I didn't have the image that he just described.
This is about a group of people imposing their morality on the rest of society.
Yeah.
If a grown adult wants another grown adult is willing to give one for money, then let them. That's both freedom and capitalism, and that's the foundation of our country. If you have a problem with a genital massage, then don't get one and allow other consenting adults to do what they want. That would truly be a happy ending for everyone.
I think he convinced me. He really did. It's about America, ladies and gentlemen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.